if he needs to defeat them. So, you know, it's an issue around the world, and it's become a pretty good, bad issue in the Philippines as well. So there's that kind of problem. In our area, there's some Muslims. There's a mosque in Naga City where we live. But the main problem, maybe group that we might be more fearful of is a communist group called the New People's Army. So they're, it's very common in our area to have people like that around. So, but so far, we haven't had any problems with them. Anyone have a question? Oh, right over here, Pastor.
Our media is not very friendly to the new president there in the Philippines. How is he responding towards ministry and stuff?
As far as the gospels, he's not opposed. And I hear that he's put a lot of believers in his cabinet. A lot of believers are cabinet members. So that's good news. He, in college, he was friends with some communist leaders, so that's a little scary in a way. Obama really offended him because Obama took a strong stand against him fighting crime, and his fighting of crime is just to kill criminals. So so it's not quite like here. He was telling people when he, before he was elected, he was running, and he said, you know, our government right now, we our police forces get a lot of criminals and put them in jail, and within 2 or 3 days they're out, and then you don't know what happens to them. But he was a mayor of a city in Mindanao, and he said, when I arrest someone, then we know what happens to them because they're in the grave, you know. So that's his response to especially drug dealers, and he's killed his forces have killed about 6,000 since he's been in office in the last 8 or 9 months. So he's serious on the drug war. So Obama said that if he came to America, he'd be arrested and things like that. And so that really alienated President Duterte. And he's gone to China, and China's promised all kinds of aid, but it's loans. And it, you know, China says we'll give you $50 billion in loans, which have to be paid back. And America always gives them about $15 billion a year in support. So it's kind of, it's he's not thinking very well when he's talking about how kind China is to the Philippines, because America's much more kind. But so that's something that concerns us. And Filipinos really aren't in favor of close relationship with China. Most of the drugs come in through China and things like that. So some Filipinos are against that as well. So, but as far as the gospel's sake, he's not hindering the gospel. Right here. Well, we don't have a lot of factories. There's some factories. But a lot of people make their living by calling you at noon, you know, and asking you if you want to, you know, buy things, and you probably leave your answering machine on so you don't have to answer the phones. But that's very common, call centers, where they're calling Americans. And English is like a second language in the Philippines. So a lot of companies come to the Philippines because the wages are so much lower than here. A person might make $7 to $10 a day, and so companies will hire them to be people who might answer questions about computers if you call in and you get a foreigner. Be nice to them, okay? They're just trying to make a living and doing their best. But sometimes you'll get calls, you know, trying to sell things as well. So a lot of people are working overnight, so that it's day, you know, they're 13 hours ahead there. So right now it's Monday morning in the Philippines. So so a lot of people work in call centers. That's very common. People in our church work in, there's a number that are teachers. A number of them have small farms as well, mechanics, things like that. So that's the main industry where we're at. More in Manila, you have the call centers and other things like that. Right here.
You talked about drugs. Do you have a drug problem down there with the young people like we have here?
There's a lot of drugs. I didn't realize how big of a problem it is, but it's a huge problem in the Philippines. And they say a huge percentage of the population has been on drugs. But the price of drugs has like been cut in half because of his war on drugs. It's harder for the drug dealers to get rid of them. And he's going after hot, big names. I mean, there's been political leaders who've been on drugs or been part of that and have threatened the president. But he said, I'm 73 already. If I get assassinated, it's okay. I'm going to do this for the country. So he's means business on the drug war. So, other questions? Back here. Oh, it's of course it's much lower. A teacher makes about $400 a month, and that's a good wage, a public school teacher. So the cost of living is quite low. Cost of medical care is really low as well. So that's a benefit. Our mission board is insured, and they really encourage us to get treated overseas because American health care is so expensive. So it pays off for us to get our health care over there. And we can find good health care in the Philippines. Right here. Right. Right. Yes, that's starting to go away some, but it's still an open door. And we've gotten, there's a mission group called SEND. It's an evangelical group, you know, that we wouldn't necessarily fellowship with. But they wrote a values program, and then they turned it over to Filipinos. And so we take their values materials that have been approved by the Department of Education in the Philippines, and we can go into the schools. And the stories, there'll be like six or eight lessons on one value, like responsibility, or another one is initiative, things like that, or humility. And there'll be eight lessons on that. The first four lessons will be Bible stories. And they'll tie it to a Bible story and show how this Bible character demonstrated self-discipline or initiative and things like that. And then the last four lessons will be a Filipino hero or just a folk tale. But always there's a verse tied with it. So we're teaching these Bible verses, memory verses, and we'll have one of those memory verses to songs. And, of course, the ones who did that UCCM, so we just changed the music, but we still teach that song, and it's wonderful that they go home and they know a Bible verse, it's put to music, and who knows what God can do with that. But that gives us an open door to go reach out to the parents. If we go and go cold turkey and talk to parents, you know, they're respectful to us maybe, but if you go as a teacher, you have a wide open door. You know, they might run from you if a pastor comes. But if you're going that way and then the child is ahead of you and says, Mom, there's Teacher Kevin. Then she's excited to see Teacher Kevin and Teacher Mary. And so then we go in and we talk to them a little bit about the values class and saying, we're just trying to help your children. They want you to help their children. And a lot of parents are like, I'm concerned. My child has no good values. My child has a bunch of bad friends that are bad influences on my child. And what can you do? And they find out we're trying to help them. And so that gives you an open door. And then we can say, in our values class, the textbook is the Bible. Do you have a Bible? Oh, yes, we have a Bible. It's a Catholic country. Most people have Bibles. They just never read them. They don't know what the Bible says. But they do have Bibles, and so we'll encourage them, why don't you read the Bible? And then after several visits, when we build a relationship, then we can share the gospel with them. And we've seen numerous professions of faith. So it's a joy. It takes time to build on that. You know, we don't know that the professions are always possessions. Of course, they're not all, but some are. And sometimes we start seeing growth. So far, we've not been able to bring in any families into the church through that program, but it's only been 2 years since we started. And listen, you think it takes time to bring in souls here? It does in the Philippines, too. We just have to, my encouragement to you, don't get discouraged where you're at. It's going to take time to build relationships, to show people that you love them and you're concerned, and then you can win them for Jesus. So, other questions? Right here. Most everyone, I would say 70% graduate from high school. A number of them don't. Education's free, but it takes money for transportation and money to send food with your children to school. And so even that, sometimes the parents don't value it. Now, everyone could send their kids to school, but there's a lot of vices, and there's a lot of men that drink up the family income, or they gamble it. The biggest sport in the Philippines is cockfighting, and it's just gambling. And they waste lots and lots of money on, even though they're poor, they waste it. And it's sad. It's very sad. There's kids that are hungry and kids that have no education because dad wastes it on gambling and alcohol. So, but there are people that go to college and get well educated. But a lot of them maybe go 1 year to college and then they don't have money to continue. So, other questions? Over here, Pastor. There's churches around us, lots of small churches. You know, the Catholics have huge numbers, but for us, our churches are fairly small, like 30 to 50. So Calvary, we have usually around 60. So praise the Lord for that. Faith, we're about 30. And that's kind of normal for our area in the province. The Catholics have basically every township, you would say, or it's even smaller than a township, they have a Catholic chapel. And so people aren't used to traveling very far to church. Some of you maybe have traveled 20 miles to come to church tonight. That wouldn't be the way it would be in the Philippines. People don't travel very far, and it's hard to travel because, you know, if you don't have a car, which a lot of them don't, most of them don't, you have to take public transportation. And so the distance between our churches is not great. If we could drive it, it's only like 20 minutes to our outreach church, but that's two or three rides. So two or three rides is a lot of money for a family, and it's very hard to do. And so that's why we have a ministry over there. And there's a big need there, too. There's many, many people we can reach there. And Hima'au isn't real far away where we plan to plant another church. But again, it's 2 to 3 rides to come to our services. So there's a need over there as well. So there's lots of small works. And I rejoice in that. And we have good friends, good Filipino men that are our friends. But there's still a need for much more to be done, especially in our area. So they say it's about 2% evangelized. So it's interesting. People say, you know, what we are. Well, we're born again Christian. I'll say, what about you? I'm a Catholic. So they most of them don't relate being a Catholic with being a Christian, which is interesting. Because here, you know, they'd probably say they're Christians, wouldn't they? But there they don't so much. There's a right here. Right. I forgot what it says exactly, but just pray for those people that we mentioned. If you could pray for Ricky and John Daniel, who I'm discipling, and Lord willing, June 2018, they'll be in Bible college. And then Pastor Ben is Both of us are praying for two men that we're working with them to prepare them for Bible college. Ben is preparing two brothers, Emerson and Nilo, for the work. And Mary's preparing two young ladies to, Lord willing, be pastors' wives or wives of church leaders. And their names are Jonalyn and Bea. So pray for them. They all have a heart for the Lord. They're all being used as Sunday school teachers already. And the men as song leaders, and we're beginning to teach them to preach. So pray for these men and women. Pray that the Lord brings the right partners into their lives someday. Pray for Pastor Ben, that the Lord gives him a godly wife. So those would be our main requests at this today. Other questions? Anyone else have a question? No other question. Okay. Go with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I'll just give you a short challenge with what the Lord says here. John chapter 15. Let's just look at the first... first 11 verses, okay? John 15, 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time we can be together. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing here. Lord, it's exciting to see what's happening here, to see the expansion because of the need to have more places for people here because the church is growing. And I thank you, Lord, for this week of service that you're going to use in many people's lives. And I pray that you'll bring in many children to hear your word this week. And that through that, not just children, but whole families can be reached with the gospel. I pray that they'll truly have visitors next week that are the result of this week of service to you. Give them strength. I pray that they'll abide in you this week. Lord, without you we're nothing. And so we need to remain in fellowship with you, but we need to depend on you. So help us to do that and help us to grow in you. Speak to our hearts as we consider this passage quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. In Isaiah chapter 7, I believe it is, God talks to Israel. He talks to Judah. And he talks about a vineyard. He talks about how Judah is a vine that he planted and cared for and took care of it, tilled the soil, built a wall around it to protect it from animals, and did all he could to help that vine bear fruit. But in verse 2 of that passage, it says, I looked for fruit, and what did I find? I found sour grapes. Not fresh, sweet-tasting grapes, but sour grapes. And he says, what am I going to do because of it? And he talks about judgment coming. Because when God looked for mercy, he found oppression. When God looked for righteousness, he saw wickedness. And so God set aside that vine. God set aside, he disciplined that vine. And it's interesting when we get to the New Testament, to this passage here, you would think that Jesus is going to say, okay, Israel was that vine that was rejected. Now the church, that's the true vine that's going to bear the fruit. But that's not what we see here, is it? Isn't this neat? I love this, how God, Jesus talks here in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And in Isaiah 7, the Father is the husbandman. But here it says, I am the true vine. Jesus says, he's the true vine. He's the true vine. You know, Judah failed. And the church can fail. But Jesus cannot fail. Judah did not bear the right kind of fruit. But you know what? God's going to get the right kind of fruit. God's going to get delicious fruit because his own son, Jesus, is the true vine. How comforting that is. How comforting that is. But you know, we have a part in that. We're the branches. We're the branches. And God has a lot of branches all over the world. And I think the key for us and what we need to remember is, are we the branches that are going to bear the fruit? You know, Jesus talks here. He says, not all branches bear the fruit. Some dry up, don't they? Some dry up and are cast away and eventually thrown in the fire. And fire always represents judgment in Scripture. Some are going to be judged because they don't bear the fruit. But some will bear much fruit. What about you? And what about us? That's what we need to think about. What kind of branch are we going to be? Are we going to be used of God to bear that great fruit, that wonderful fruit, much fruit that he desires, and bear that sweet fruit that God the Father desires? We can. We can. How do we do that? Jesus says this. Here's the secret. You remain in me. You abide in me. If we're separated from Christ, we cannot bear that fruit. We have no power in ourselves to bear the fruit. We can only bear that fruit as we're connected to Jesus, as we abide in Jesus. And so we're almost out of time today, but I just want to, what does this mean to abide in Jesus? You know, it really means two things. First of all, it means we remain in fellowship with Jesus. We don't allow things to take us from our relationship with Jesus. In verse 3, Jesus says this, now ye are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. This is just before he's betrayed and then crucified. And Judas has already left. He's departed already. He was one of those, everyone thought he was a real true branch, but he wasn't, was he? And one day, and he is judged, and he will be judged even more in the future. But he's talking to those 11 that remain behind. And he says, you need to abide in me. And he's talking to us tonight. We need to abide in Christ. We need to remain in fellowship with him. And part of that fellowship is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that cleanses us. We can't be in fellowship with God if our lives are filthy, right? The Bible says, this is the message we've heard from Christ, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, to abide in Christ, we need to be abiding and having fellowship with him, continuous fellowship with him, which means we must avoid sin, stay away from it, and we must stay in the Word, because this what keeps us from sin, doesn't it? This is what cleanses us from sin. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God cleanses our hearts. And Jesus says, through my word, you've been cleansed. You're clean. Now abide in me. Remain in fellowship with me. But it's not just remaining in fellowship. It's remaining dependent on Jesus. We can do nothing of any value to the Lord unless we depend on Him. And you know, a few months ago, I was kind of discouraged in the work. And you have ups and downs in the ministry, of course. And it was one of those times when I was discouraged. And I'd really lost my joy. And I was reading, and it's wonderful. As you read God's Word, God gives you what you need. And I was reading in Romans, and I forgot. I didn't even write down the verse. But I remember it said something like this. The kingdom of God isn't about food meat and drink. It's about righteousness and holiness. And then it says, joy in the Holy Ghost. Wow. I'm missing that. That's where I'm missing out. I'm thinking that the kingdom of God, that the ministry is all about me and me working so hard for the Lord. No, it's not about that. It's about righteousness and holiness, but it's also about joy in the Holy Ghost. And as you depend on Jesus, He gives you that joy. He gives you that joy. When you abide in Christ, there's fruit. And he mentions some of the fruit here. It talks about bearing much fruit. It talks about God the Father being glorified. You should go through the book of John and see what Jesus' ministry was all about. Because several places in the book of John, Jesus says, I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to glorify my Father. My Father is going to be glorified in my death. John 17, he talks about that, doesn't he, in his prayer. He says, Father, glorify thou me as I've glorified you, and so forth. Jesus' ministry, it was about glorifying the Father. And you know, as we abide in Christ, God is glorified. And as we abide in Christ, we bear much fruit. As we abide in Christ, our love for God grows and our love for other people. And then one other thing. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you that your joy might remain. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You know, as we abide in Christ, our joy becomes full. And what a joy it is to serve God. But we can't serve Him unless we're depending on Him. Because without Him, we're nothing. We're nothing at all. So I just want to challenge you tonight. Abide in Christ. Remain in fellowship with Him. Don't let anything ruin your fellowship with Him. Get rid of that sin that's hindering your life and hindering your fellowship with Jesus. Because there's nothing better than being in fellowship with Him. And walk in reliance on Him. We need Him every week. You're going to need Him this week, right? VBS is coming. It's hard. It's going to be hard. But God will give you the strength as you rely and depend on Him. So walk in dependence on Jesus Christ this week. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share your word and share what you're doing in the Philippines. And Lord, I can't save anyone. I couldn't save myself. You're the only one who can save anyone. And so, Lord, thank you that you saved me and that if I depend on you, you use me. And use this flock of people this week to do a great work to the glory of your Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kevin. Well, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just take a time of invitation here. As the instrument plays, have thine own way. That's the hymn.